Hello, hello, hello. It is June 12th, a Tuesday. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. And mini camps are opening around the league. We're going to get to a lot of news here this week. It should be a kind of an active week. The true, you know, storm before the real calm season. It's going to be about 6 weeks after this week where there isn't going to be anything. You know, I mean, there's going to be players, coaches, front office, secretaries, everybody on vacation. You know, I mean, that's when they do it because there isn't much time the rest of the year. And there'll be some signings here and there and, you know, probably somebody will get arrested here and there and that type of thing. Hopefully not, but it will. And hopefully there's not any real injuries this week in minicamp, but there probably will be. But there'll be some news. And the biggest news right now is the holdouts from minicamp. You know, there's a handful of dudes that aren't happy with their contract, that are holding out from their respective teams. And they'll probably get fined for it. But, you know, if you get a new contract, that's, one grain of sand in the beach. I mean, it's nothing. But the one I want to examine, and as a further, is Seattle and the Earl Thomas situation. We're going to kind of do this in a several-part series is, where are Seattle right now as a team? We're not going to break it down like a State of the Seahawks address, but just an overview. Where's Thomas as a player? What are the options that Seattle, and to a much, much lesser degree, Thomas has? You know, do you trade him? It comes down, do you trade him or you sign him? Is there anyone out there that would want Thomas? Probably a couple teams. Dallas, obviously, is the one everyone talks about, and he's from, you know, from Texas, played at Texas. But let's talk about, first off, we're brought to you by Blue Chew. And you guys, last week and the week before, I've told you about them. And I will tell you about them here in a moment. But before we do, let's talk about Seattle. And most of you know that I am not high on this team right now. I absolutely think this is a rebuild. There was some gentleman on Twitter, and I didn't scroll back to give him the honor, that basically called me a lot of bad words and said, Williamson, you have no idea what you're talking about. You greatly undersell the young talent base, the up-and-comers, the breakout candidates, and Russell Wilson's still there. Russell Wilson is still there. So I don't think this is a Bears-Browns rebuild. I mean, it's not. You at least have the quarterback in place. And clearly it was a priority this year to make Russell Wilson's life a little easier with some semblance of a running game. Doing so with Rashad Penny in the first round is not how I would have gone about doing it. That's because I have questions about the player, and they have invested in this offensive line quite a bit, and there's a new line coach, so maybe Ethan Posick, you know, a second-round pick. Justin Britt, a second-round pick from 14 from 2 years ago. Maybe he comes back to the player he was 2 years ago is what I was saying there. Posick steps up in his second year. Maybe they get more out of a Fetty. Dwayne Brown's still a really good left tackle. So I do expect this line to be a little better. But there's still no doubt in my mind they're rebuilding. I mean, gone are Jimmy Graham, Bennett, Averill, probably Chancellor, although he has a neck situation that we're going to find out more about that here in the coming month or so. But my hunch is he's not going to be a Seahawk this year. And they didn't replace him with big-name guys. I mean, Brandon Marshall doesn't count. Nobody wanted Brandon Marshall. So they are slowly rebuilding. They're not slowly. I mean, their rebuild might happen quicker. They don't have a lot of cap space right now, but next year they do. They have 60-some million in cap space. It's a lot. So maybe they look at it, and I'm not blaming them for this, is you have somewhat of a down year, certainly by their standards, but I think in real standards, I mean, honestly, the Rams are more talented than Seattle right now. There's no doubt in my mind. I also think San Francisco is, and maybe Arizona. And we'll talk about some potential breakout guys here for Seattle and some young guys. But the draft hasn't been super kind to Seattle. I mean, this year aside, last year's draft, their first pick was Malik McDowell and then Posick. McDowell may never play again. That's not their fault. Shaq Griffin, the the corner, Shaq Griffin, is absolutely a breakout candidate. He was their third pick that year. Then Delano Hall, Nasir Jones, Darbo. I mean, okay. I mean, maybe some of those guys emerge. 2016, your first-round pick was Ifedi. And then Jerron Reed, who I think Reed is an ascending player, too. Much more of a run-stuffer, though. And I think he'll be a fixture. CJ Procise, Nick Vinette. I mean, I like Procise still, but he's never on the field. Alex Collins, who's now a Raven. I mean, there's some notables from that class. Frank Clark was their first-round pick in 15. He's a superstar in the making, by the way. So don't, you know, Seahawks fans that are on me, I know how good Frank Clark is, and he's only getting better. I think he's a total stud. I've been a big Lockett guy, too, their second-round pick, but he can't stay in the field either. You know, I mean, then you're talking about Terry Poole and Glinski and Ty Smith, you know. Paul Richardson was their first-round pick in 16. Britt was their second. Cassius Marsh after that. So they haven't brought a ton in. The year before that, Christine Michael, Jordan Hill, Chris Harper, Jesse Williams. You know, I mean, not much to speak of from the draft of late. They still have Bobby Wagner. They still have K.J. Wright. Like I said, they have Clark, and they have some other, you know, foundation pieces on defense. I mentioned Griffin's an up-and-comer. There are a couple mid-round picks there maybe are ready to emerge. Deion Jordan shows some promise there. They signed Tom Johnson. He's okay. I mentioned Reed is getting better. But this defense is a shell of what it was. I mean, and what it was the best defense this generation. And that time has gone. And on offense, Jimmy Graham's not coming back. The line might get better, but it's not great. Besides Russell Wilson, Baldwin, and if I really squint, Penny, you know, where's the talent on offense? I mean, I guess Dwayne Brown, no doubt. Lockett if he stays healthy, but that's a big if. Like, I don't think this is clearly, in my opinion, one of the bottom third in the NFL in terms of talent, you know, in terms of what is currently on the roster. And for my website, williamsonfootball.com, this is why I'm talking about Seattle today. Yesterday, I put out my NFC West breakouts, and Shaq Griffin was my pick for Seattle. You know, I said something like Frank Clark would be the easy choice, but he's already broken out. You'd love Britt or Posick to be that guy. Maybe it's Tyler Lockett's year. You know, Jerron Reed is promising, but is he a breakout, in quotes? You know, so I do have high hopes for Griffin and his brother, too, you know, no doubt. So that to me is kind of where Seattle is. I mean, I think they're going to, and not intentionally, but are going to have a rough year, spending free agency a year from now, bring in more draft capital. Hopefully have some sort of running game and offensive line around Wilson and Baldwin and add more from there and try to rebuild this defense. So I think that's where the team is. Now, more importantly, I told you about our friends at Blue Chew. Now, for those of you that don't know what Blue Chew is here. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. It gets the blood flowing. So you know where I'm going with this here, right? I mean, this is sort of a touchy subject for us men. You know, I just turned 45 the other day. Yeah, I keep mentioning that to you. I haven't gotten any presents yet. And maybe we don't perform like a teenager anymore. Maybe Earl Thomas doesn't perform quite like he did in his prime. You know, it's just nature, folks, and so why not fix it? And as I told you last week, I look at the situation like I'm a GM. Hey, maybe an aspect of my team, a really important aspect of my team perhaps, my pass rush, my quarterback, something that's really important to me, isn't quite playing as well as it used to. So what do? You address it. You address it. You address it with Blue Chew. So now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, this is the great part about it, they work twice as fast as a pill. So now you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. That always sounded odd to me. Like, I'm going to take this pill and, hey, baby, find me in half an hour or whatever. Like, that's weird. You know, like, the Blue Chew is the way to go. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, there's no awkwardness. Nobody knows. Who cares? They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them very much for sponsoring our wonderful Locked On podcast. I told you about our buddies over at Blue Chew. And men, you should get on that. Actually, ladies, why not get it for your dude if he's having some issues? There you go. So, before that, I told you where I feel Seattle is in the whole scheme of things. I think it's a down year. I mean, I'm thinking 5 wins. I mean, that's the kind of team I think this is. That's all respect to Wilson. I think he's a great one. He's going to be a great one for a while. But ebbs and flows, this is going to be, is it an ebb or a flow? I guess it's an ebb. This is a downturn. Where's Earl Thomas? He's 29. He was drafted in 2010. Same year as Gronkowski, who's going through some of these issues, you know. He has battled a few injuries of late. True center field type guy that fits the system perfectly and has been an absolute foundation player for them during their great years. In fact, I think, and I've told you this before, I think he's not only the best, but I think he's the most important of the Super Seahawks. You know, of, and that's great players. I mean, Wagner, Wright, Averill, Bennett, Sherman. I think Thomas was the most important and also the best at what he did. And if this doesn't, and if this comes ahead and it doesn't get worked out and Thomas quits right now, I think he's a deserved Hall of Famer today. He was a great eraser. You know, like I always say that about free safeties, that those other 10 dudes can play much more aggressively knowing Earl's back there. He's also a great communicator, getting all those people aligned. Hey, look for screen, watch for this, you know, and tells all the people in front of them what they're doing. But not only does he solve all the problems that are created by the 10 in front of him and allow them to play much faster and much more aggressively, which turn into a lot of big plays and turnovers and sacks and whatnot, but he creates so many big plays on his own too. I mean, and by no means is he a finesse player. I mean, he is a come up and stick you in the run game guy too. If you were allowed in today's NFL, he'd be somewhat of an enforcer over the middle as well. For the majority of his career, I think Earl Thomas has been the best safety, and like I said, a Hall of Fame type guy in the entire NFL. Now, I will concede at 29, he ain't quite what he used to be. You know, like, I don't think Earl Thomas is better than Harrison Smith right now. You know, like, I think he's a really good player still, but not clearly the best safety in the league, and has lost a little. And he probably can, I mean, definitely will continue to lose a little. You know, explosion, speed, range. But you also see smart, savvy safeties playing later even as they decline because it's still a very cerebral position and understanding how to bait quarterbacks, angles to take to the ball, don't take false steps. And he's always done that, and he's only going to get better at those things. You know, so I don't think that he, by any means, is a fall-off-the-cliff type of player. You know, so I think that if Dallas were to trade for him, or I've heard San Diego, or the Chargers, you know, as their new trade Boston, something like that. Yeah, or you know, if Seattle were to keep him, of course, or whomever. I don't think it's a, yes, it's a declining asset, but I don't think it's a rapidly declining asset. I think you could still get a lot of good years out of Thomas. Now, Thomas, right now, is scheduled to earn $8.5 million. But his contract expires after the year. That's the rub. Now, Seattle could pay him the $8.5 million, franchise him. But to do that, I think, really rocks the boat and messes with the locker room too much. You know, and makes him, infuriates him. Eric Berry is making $13 million a year. And one of the things that kind of hurt Thomas here is he signed this deal quite a while ago, you know, when he was... younger dude, and inflation's really kicked in around the NFL. So now the top guys are making $13 million. And is he a $13 million a year safety still, if that's what the top guy in the league is? Not saying Eric Berry's the best safety in the league. The answer is no, but he's right for asking for that. You know what I mean? Like, it's that's what he should be gunning for. Not that you're paying because of, you know, what he's given you in the past, but it's just, you know, that's what you ask for at this stage of the game. And if you're 27, you pay him no problem. But he's 29, you know, obviously soon to be 30, and he's going to be asking for 13 a year or so at 29. And you're rebuilding. Is that the right move, you know, to give him this kind of money? And I think I mentioned it before. They don't have a ton of cap space this year, but the 8.5 won't hurt him to pay him, you know, if his original deal. But they do have a lot of cap space a year from now. So keeping Thomas, first of all, I should have said this too. Their defense without him is night and day. You know, Sean Lee's one of those players I mentioned that, holy smokes, is that defense different when he's not in. It's absolutely true with Thomas too. Like, look at them when he missed that time. Like, they were awful. Awful. And that can't be put on paper with stats and all those type of things. And I think it's still true. Working against him, it hasn't been a good market for safeties. You know, like Minka and Derwin, they fell a little bit. Some of the safeties like Reed that we thought would go higher didn't. But more so, the guys that signed, like Morgan Burnett, not big money. Kenny Vaccaro, Eric Reed, Trey Boston, those guys still don't have a team. So if you're Dallas in search of a free safety, you know, do I want to give up a second-round pick and pay him $13 million? Or do I just want to sign Trey Boston or Eric Reed? You know what I mean? Like, so being a safety this year is bad luck for him. You know, that doesn't help his cause. But keeping him, I think, makes you less of a, quote, bottom feeder. I think a year from, if you have a down year, a year from now in free agency, free agents would be more apt to come join your team. I don't think the defense would fall apart as if he wasn't there, because I think without him, the defense falls apart. I mean, really. You got to pay him, but you do have some cap space going forward. This is a really hard decision for me. I mean, I really don't know if there's a right answer. How many teams are really interested in Thomas right now? I mean, it's late in the process. A lot of these teams don't have a lot of cap space. The rumor was Seattle wanted a second. Dallas offered him a third, so it didn't get done. Is Dallas all of a sudden now going to give you a second next year? I mean, then I'm considering it. I can't trade him for a third. I'm thinking about it for a second. But in the end, my decision with Thomas is leaning, testing the phones, seeing what's out there. But in the end, I think I keep him. And I try to get him around $11 million instead of $13 million. Say, hey, man, you're 29. $11 million's not so bad. You know, probably end up getting him at about 12. But I don't think you want to be a super long-term deal either. I mean, a two-year deal, a three-year deal. And he's not going to love it, but he doesn't. Thomas doesn't also have the leverage that he's pretending or, you know, putting up in the face of the Seattle. You know, like, in the end, he's not going to hold out. And if they don't trade him, he's going to play for the 8.5. And they could franchise him, even though it's kind of an a-hole thing to do. And how many teams are beating down their door to trade for him and then give him huge money? So maybe you keep him and you keep some of that old school culture and leadership, and the young guys look to him at what it's like to be a Seahawk and a professional, and he keeps everybody aligned. And maybe you can get it at a little bit more of a discount than we think at this stage. You know, a 2 or 3 year deal at 11 per, and maybe after that 2 years you can get out of it if he's starting to fall apart, or, you know. Interesting, though. I mean, this is a hard one to write. That's why I wanted to do a podcast about this one. It's a tough one to... There's not an easy answer to me. You know, like Lev Bell, I think you play him under the franchise tag, run him into the ground, send him on his way. Aaron Donald, you could really screw with him and franchise him, and that's a bargain. But him and, like, Julio are absolutely in their prime. They're you know, you pay them. You know, they're franchise guys in their prime. You pay them and build around them and win now. With Earl, it's a little hairier, and I can really see both sides. All right, like I said, check out our friends at Blue Chew, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.